If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
I just found something very sad.
What's that?
Well, one of our local communities here got mentioned on a list in Wallet Hub, and they didn't get mentioned at the top of the list, closer to the bottom, actually. Here's what's on Wallet Hub. Are you ready? It says, Americans today liberally apply the term foodie to anyone who loves gourmet dining.
Okay.
But foodie culture isn't limited to restaurants. More important, far fewer than the many who claim to be foodies truly deserve the label.
Mm-hmm.
Authentic foodies, according to experts, not only crave new and different flavors, mm-hmm. but also savor the exploratory experience of eating, learning, and discovering food, which kind of just sounds like a different way to describe the same thing to me.
Sure does.
Interestingly enough, year before last, 2015, mm-hmm. was the first time in American history when more money was spent by Americans in restaurants than in grocery stores.
They spent more money in restaurants than in grocery stores?
Yeah. But and
seriously.
And the entire country. I mean, it's not, but I don't mean like everybody did that. Obviously a lot of people cook at home, but
all right, now I told you I eat out a lot.
Yeah. Do you think you spend more money in restaurants than you do at the grocery store for food?
You know, I've never really
thought about it.
But no.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
No, there's no way we do. We cook at home most of the time. It says, needless to say, the foodie lifestyle can be quite expensive considering that restaurant prices alone
that might be the rub.
Have risen.
I'm not eating in expensive enough places.
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, if you drive through for a chicken sandwich, that's
Yeah.
In fact, Americans spent more money at food establishments than at grocery stores for the first time in 2015.
Wow.
Dining in can be comparatively more cost-effective, not to mention equally satisfying to the taste buds.
Sure.
But only to the extent that grocery store prices have declined. Eating at home can still be pricey depending upon the local cost of living.
True.
As well as the type and quality of ingredients used.
We all know that.
In preparing homemade meals. Fortunately, culinary hotspots across the U.S. offer plenty of affordable options for cash-strapped epicures. They've got their thesaurus out.
Yeah.
These wallet-friendly cities cater to foodies who prefer to cook at home, explore the local gastronomy, or both. To determine the best and cheapest foodie scenes, Wallet Hub's and analysts compared more than 180 U.S. cities across 24 key indicators of foodie friendliness. Now, what they did, normally in a lot of these surveys, Boise gets in there because they take the 100 biggest cities, and Boise is like number 99 in the country right. or something, or the 100 biggest metro areas.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular one, they took the 182 biggest cities, which means that Nampa got in there, too.
Nampa's in there.
This is where the not-so-great news comes in.
Oh. They're on the other end.
I'll go on. Our data set ranges from cost of groceries mm-hmm. to affordability and accessibility of high-quality restaurants to food festivals per capita.
Okay.
It says, read on for the winners, expert foodie insight, and a full description of our methodology, happy eating. And then, of course, they have a big map here. And as you might expect, some of the places at the top.
Idaho looks like North Korea in that electric thing.
Well, so, a little bit. There are only two dots on Idaho, and one of them's Boise, and the other one's Nampa. But as you might expect, top of the list in this particular list, San Francisco.
Sure.
And, of course, that has to do with variety, you know, great restaurants, and also value, apparently. And that's the way Portland comes in at number two. Mostly because of value. You can get a lot of different kinds of things in Portland. It doesn't cost you nearly as much as a lot of metro areas.
Mm-hmm.
New York City, of course, Manhattan comes in third. And then they followed up Los Angeles, Miami, Orlando, Austin. Las Vegas is always on the list because
every
big casino has six or seven different kinds of restaurants and major chefs and things like that. And then San Diego, Seattle, Tampa, Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, Sacramento, Houston, St. Louis, Denver. Sounds like I'm reading a list of, you know, cities with football and basketball teams or something like that. True. So all major cities. D.C., Phoenix, Honolulu's on there. So you go further down the list here. Dallas is clear down at number 36. In fact, they're just ahead of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Cleveland is at 38. Boston is clear down at number 40. Reno's at 43. Scottsdale made it to 48, and Tempe is at 49. But if I think if you put Phoenix, Scottsdale, and Tempe all together, it would probably be a better score.
Just Scottsdale's.
Baltimore's clear down at number 54. 61, which beats a poke in the eye of the sharp stick, is Boise, Idaho. Okay, so we made the top, 61.
We're number 61.
We're 61.
How many fingers
but
you
we're
got,
only,
Bob?
We're only two behind Anaheim, and we're ahead of Oklahoma City and Detroit.
You just said with pride, we're only two behind Anaheim.
Well, come on, that's where Disneyland is.
Come on, man.
Knott's Berry Farm. Well, okay, here's the bad part of it. There are 182 on the list. At number 178 is Nampa, Idaho.
Oui.
It might not be fair. Interestingly enough, okay, number 182, dead last on the list, is Pearl City, Hawaii, which is just out,
I've been
right there,
City.
Right there by Honolulu.
You bet.
And then Juneau, Alaska is number 181. 180 is West Valley City, Utah.
Juneau, Alaska, I've eaten there too. I've been at West Valley too.
179 is Gulfport, Mississippi, and then 178 on the list is Nampa, Idaho. Although I have had good meals in Nampa, Idaho. It's 8:45.
Where have you eaten in Nampa, Idaho?
Well, El Tanampa. I mean, the last time I ate in Nampa, it was at El Tanampa.
I don't even know what that is.
Even has, but it's Mexican. It even has Nampa in the name.
8:46.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
8:51, Idaho Talks Live. Underway for a Thursday morning.
The death toll rose to 23 last night from the rapidly spreading firestorm in California wine country.
I know some people down there. Talked to them on the phone last night. They were crying, and I mean, all the places they and the thing that the places they played and stuff when they were kids, all gone.
Wow.
Yeah, because I guess they've never had, there are places where you have a fire every 7-8 years, and so there's nothing of any historic value, there was there.
Right.
And it's gone.
Firefighters are still battling the return of the high winds.
Great.
That are starting to cause new evacuations. All residents of Calistoga and Geyserville were ordered to leave their homes as firefighters braced for a tough fight overnight on numerous fronts of the fires. About 8:20 last night, mandatory evacuations were also issued for parts of eastern Sonoma Valley, including Castle Road and 7th Street East north of Laval Valley Road. Napa city officials issued evacuation advisories for neighborhoods along the eastern edges of the city, warning residents to be prepared to leave. Just before 9 p.m., Santa Rosa police also issued an evacuation advisory for neighborhoods in that city's eastern end.
Yep.
While other neighborhoods along the north end of the city are under mandatory evacuation orders. The fire is not an imminent threat, but the conditions may change quickly, police said. In Sonoma County alone, 25,000 people have left their homes. County spokesman Scott Alonzo said late last night, if there's been a mandatory evacuation, you cannot go home. He said the area is just unsafe.
I talked to a friend.
Well, and people are having to make split-second decisions, too.
Yeah. Talked to a friend, Roy Duggins, who said that his daughters both live, I think, in Santa Rosa. They are now living in the parking lot of the strip mall where they work. And basically they have porta potties, porta showers, cots, tents, things set up in the generators, set up in the parking lot of their business. And like you said, they can't go home.
Yeah.
They are stuck in the clothes they're wearing in a parking lot.
Okay.
For who knows how long.
I can tell you right now that at my house, we don't have a plan, what to do in case you have 5 minutes to prepare for a natural disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you right now, we don't have a plan.
What disaster?
How to evacuate. I don't know.
Yeah.
But these people didn't expect to have a plan either.
No.
And yet,
there's never been anything like this.
A lot of them are being told you have 5 minutes to get out of your house.
Yeah.
And so. They've got insurance policies and their ID, birth certificates, passports, and all these things they just are leaving behind because they're thinking, okay, I better put together some clothes or something, grab my toothbrush, whatever I can get.
Yeah, you're right. If you don't ever have disasters, you don't know how to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought of that. Oh, my God.
Well, you remember during the hurricanes, we kept seeing interviews with people down in the Miami area that said, all I have to do is put together my hurricane bag.
I think closet A,
which had,
two or three things.
It had,
in it.
Yeah, exactly. One
of them has legal papers, the other one pictures.
Yeah, nail boards over the windows
and
get all the copies of everything that I have and just get out of here.
Whereas the same thing happens.
What would you take if you had 5 minutes to evacuate? I mean, what would you do at your house?
Legal documents. Like checkbooks, et cetera,
yeah,
and pictures.
Okay. Do you have them in a fairly central place, or are they just kind of everywhere?
Okay.
They're kind of everywhere. Both.
Both.
Some of them are in a central place. Yeah.
Pictures and financial stuff all in kind of the same place.
Yeah.
Whereas the legal stuff, this is where. You say you don't do it, you're in trouble. Tam knows where all this stuff is.
Okay.
I got no clue. I have no clue where that is. I got a copy of our will.
I was going to say the best case scenario for you in case of 5 minutes to evacuate is that she'd be at home.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, seriously. Seriously.
When we come back, we want to talk just a little bit about the Boy Scouts.
Oh, yeah.
Who are apparently going to admit girls now and allow them to go for Eagle.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:06. Good morning, Paul, Jane, Chris.
Were you a member?
Thursday.
Were you a member of groups when you were a kid?
Like Scouts and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cub Scout, Boy Scout.
Mm-hmm. I was a Cub Scout and then Weebelo, which is between, and then a Boy Scout. And let's see, when I was a teenager, I was in Demolay, which is a Masonic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Awana, which was a group through church, and then I was in a thing called Young Life when I was in high school.
Oh, see, you joined way more than I did.
Yeah, I had a lot to do, on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The Boy Scouts of America announced yesterday that girls will soon be allowed to become Cub Scouts and to earn the rank of Eagle Scout. So apparently they're going to get to be Boy Scouts as well.
Yeah, because Eagle is
the organization's highest honor. A lot of people think that that Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts are run by the same people. They're not.
Nope.
We believe it is critical to evolve how our programs meet the needs of families interested in positive and lifelong experiences for their children. That was the word from Michael Serbaugh, who is the chief executive of the Boy Scouts of America. Mm-hmm. The scouting board of directors voted unanimously to make the historic change in an organization that has been primarily for boys since its founding more than 100 years ago. Starting next year, young girls can join Cub Scout units, or DENs. Mm-hmm. Local scouting organizations can choose to have DENs for girls and DENs for boys if they want. Cub Scout DENs will be single gender, all boys or all girls, the organization said in a statement. A separate program for older girls will be available in 2019, the Boy Scouts said, enabling them to earn the rank of Eagle Scout. The Boy Scouts said the moves reflect
why?
The changing nature.
My whole question when I read this is why?
Yeah. And the answer to that was
Why say they're going to be...
The opening statement was what he said. That's what he gave as a reason. He said, we believe it is critical to evolve how our programs meet the needs of families interested in positive and lifelong experiences for their children. And that's pretty much it.
You say so.
I mean, a lot of people are considering this a bold move. But somebody asked me that.
I don't think it's bold.
I was asked that yesterday. Somebody just said, apparently there was somebody who thought it was just awful, and they said, well, would you have liked it if there were girls in your Boy Scout
but
troop?
But they won't be in your troop.
That's true. They'll be in their own troop or their own whatever.
So it's what just the hell?
They'll be able to have their own organization, but it's kind of like they're competing.
Stupid.
It's sort of like they're going to be competing with the Girl Scouts and the Brownies. Now, my sister was not
like they're doing now.
Claire was a Girl Scout.
Mm-hmm.
My sister was not a Girl Scout when she was little, but she was a Bluebird and then a Campfire Girl,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of similar. And they go to camp, you know.
Sure.
But it's basically a scouting thing. Then somebody was asking, well, you know, if girls are allowed in the Boy Scouts, should boys be allowed in the Girl Scouts? And, my answer to that was, I don't know. I can't see a reason why I should care at this point. But
sports writers deal.
But here was the question. Somebody said, would you have liked it if there were girls in your Boy Scout troop? And I said, you know what? I probably would have, especially when I got to about the age of 13. I don't know if when I was 8 or 9 it would have been that big of a deal.
It wouldn't, I don't think, matter.
But, I mean, once I got to be a teenager. Well, you know, because it's like even when I was in D-Malay, you know, which is a Masonic organization, we had the Job's Daughters or where the girls went or the, what else did they have? The Rainbow Girls was another thing they had. And we would all get together and have dances. And all the D-Malay boys would be there, and then a whole bunch of Job's Daughters would be there. And so it was like we were all kind of together for events anyway, except that when we had our, you know, meetings every other week, we were just by ourselves. You know, and we'd go bowling or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And if we went off to camp, we didn't usually take girls with us.
Yeah.
But we only did that every now and then. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't have a strong opinion about it one way or the other. There are certain people that are saying, you know, no, it's supposed to be this, you're supposed to be that, and you're supposed to have these defined things that boys do and defined things that girls do. And
well, see, I don't mind it. I'm not drawing a line in the sand here, but I don't see a reason for it.
Yeah.
So we have some phone calls that maybe will give me reasons for it. All right, let's go to John on line one. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Paul J., I grew up not too far from you, and actually our camp was on the other side of the state where you were. And I think a lot of it with me is just the childhood memories that I have.
Yeah.
I understand one of the reasons is parents want to be able to drop their little girl and little boy off the same time. That's assuming they're at the same time and in the same local location
sure.
where they meet, their den meetings. But I think a lot of it is just the things that seem to me to be under attack that I grew up as a boy. I remember football. real quick, sitting down watching football on Sunday morning, you know, and all those things that I've experienced seem to be under either under attack or morphing into something else, which I think people probably, I'm about your age, you know, people are just pushing back. But I might want to comment, remember there is a boys and girls club. There wasn't a local chapter in our town that I grew up in, southwestern Wisconsin, but you know, I mean, so there are things out there. One other thing, you know, there used to be the YMCA and the YWCA.
Right.
Those organizations have kind of changed, you know, to be co-ed or, you know, a different organization. So I don't know, maybe it's time for that to happen. But I tend to resist that only because of the traditional things, I guess.
Maybe that's part of mine, too.
Yeah, I think it's that's where our childhood memories go, and I had a good experience of it. I don't think there's anything wrong with young men and young women being having separate organizations and experiences. At that, I'll let you go. Okay.
All right. Good stuff.
There was a study that came out several years ago.
I feel the way he does. You don't need the same organization.
There was a study that came out several years ago about schools, and you've heard what's called getting a boy's education or getting a girl's education.
Mm-hmm.
That when the boys and girls are in the schoolroom together, that quite often the boys tend to be more aggressive, and they end up getting a different kind of education than the girls do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, it's not something that I noticed growing up necessarily. A lot of the straight-A students in the year that I graduated were girls. more of them than were boys. But
no question.
But Claire, when she was in high school, she happened to get into an English class that they just made one of the English classes all girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she really enjoyed it, and it was completely different than being in a co-ed environment. That they actually, she thought they got a lot more done.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But there have been studies that said, you know, education might actually be better if you did separate people. On the other hand, there are certain places where they think separation is you know, the worst, that it's just humans should be with humans, and as far as, you know, that's the only separation there should be.
Yeah, I just wondered if that's true, what you're saying about separating you by sex into classrooms.
Yeah.
Certainly they've done it someplace, and there should be a study by now.
I'm sure there are. 9:15, we will be back.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:21. KBOI Rewards Code Scout is that SCOUT. Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter Scout. Get them up, Scout. And earn today's 5,000 rewards points. All right, let's go to Mark of Nampa. Mark,
guys,
good morning.
How are you guys today?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. This whole Boy Scout thing and what they're up to now, my suggestion is if you want to know why, you just got to follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
I've been involved with scouting since I was 11. I'm 48 now.
Okay.
I've got a kid in Cub Scouts. My thoughts are that with the LDS Church withdrawing 2/3 of their boys from scouting, there's a chunk of change that's going to be missing. And so they're trying to find ways to build up more revenue, you know, to maintain the infrastructure and everything else.
Sure.
That they've got. And, you know, more power to them, I guess. But I'm too old school. I look at that and I think, you know, the gender roles are screwed up. The family unit is not what the traditional family unit used to be. And I think it's a damn shame that, you know, we're becoming so, we're becoming too diverse, or not, that's not the right word either, but we're missing out on, the uniqueness of either sex and what roles we can play.
Yeah,
and
the differences
and
in the sex.
And that benefits society. You know, I appreciate the fact that my wife wants to be a woman. she doesn't want to do all the things that I want to do, and she supports me in that, and I support her and her different interests, you know. I think if we try to mix things up, the world just becomes a little bit too confusing, and which explains a lot of the problems we got now in society. But, you know, follow the money trail. They've got to come up with more money because they're going to be missing out on some.
All right, good stuff.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Tom wrote in to say there are many reasons for the changes to the Boy Scouts. Here are a few. One, the LDS Church, as of January 1st, will no longer support scouting for boys over the age of 14 unless the boys are working toward their Eagle rank. This will result in scouting losing a large amount of their support that they get from the LDS Church, both financially and volunteer help. This would be a way for scouts to expand even further into getting more girls into their program. Girls participate in scouting all around the world already. Two, Girl Scouts, according to my wife, who has been involved in Girl Scouts for many, many years, has moved away from many of the principles that the organization endorsed many years ago. This has encouraged many moms not to have their daughters involved in Girl Scouts. Also, tell Ms. Martin that the number of Idahoans who enrolled in the exchange last year was 106,000, not 106. And of those who enrolled, about 97,000 kept their policy. That is not a lot of people, but more than 106.
Yeah. Okay.
There were a lot. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to Greg of Meridian. Greg.
Well, first off, thanks for not talking about geopolitical issues. Hey, Chris, it's nice to know that you and I you're young, much younger than I am, but our paths kind of, you know, I never figured out how busy I was until later in life. You know, DMLA, scouting, the whole works. You know, the email you read and the other caller kind of hit it on the head. You have a serious loss of membership. You have low participation levels, the lowest ever. And I started in Cub Scouts. In fact, I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I had decided to go with the Cub Scouts to see the telephone where they used to actually plug in the wires to connect the calls, and was missing for about 5 or 6 hours and came back, and the Cheyenne Police Department was looking for me everywhere. So that's how I started my Cub Scout career. I was in Weebelows, Boy Scouts. I obtained Eagle Scout. I was in varsity scouting. I was a cadet officer with the Sheriff's Department in Boulder. We did that. I then participated in varsity scouting by being the leader of the Law Enforcement Explorer Pros program. But, you know, it's the overall direction of scouting. I wanted to make a joke that the boys just love cookies. They just don't want to sell popcorn. you know, so here's the issue. I think you hit the nail on the head. We've let everything overlap and come together so close that there isn't any discerned line between the boys and the girls. I think girls are always ahead of us. I will say that. Even in high school, I always thought the girls were a heck of a lot smarter than us guys. So sometimes I think they learn at different levels and there's no distraction. But it really does come down to money. I've not been happy with a lot of the direction. I'm part of the National Honor Society for National Eagle Scout Society, and I've been a little bit dismayed about all of this. And I think the other caller kind of hit the nail on the head, maybe a piece that I was missing. It really is what Paul Jay says, just follow the money.
It is indeed. All right, we got to run. We're up against a hard break. And then throw in sports, Chris.
Yeah.
Throw in Little League.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:37. Paul Jay and Chris talking about gender roles, talking about a lot of stuff today having to do with male, female. Should girls be allowed to join the Boy Scouts?
Which they are.
Which they are. Yeah. And the Cub Scouts. And does it really matter? Does it play a role? What kind of role does it play? What are the reasons? Most people say,
well, you know, it's like
monetary.
Like I was talking about, there were clubs or groups and or whatnot when I was a kid, of which I was a member, that were all boys. And then there were others that were, you know, boys and girls, and I pretty much just had fun, you know, wherever.
Yeah, Yeah,
we didn't think that much about it. I mean, you know, when there were just boys around you, you just did, you know, whatever the club was doing. And then if it was a club with both boys and girls, you did whatever the club was doing.
The follow the money thing really is true, though.
Yeah.
Even with school districts, et cetera, I remember like when I was at, and we both went to the same high school, when I was at Twin Falls High,
mm-hmm.
The boys had all their sports, you know, tennis, you know, bowling. I mean, they had all of their sports, mm-hmm. basketball, baseball, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the women had what was called the GAA.
Yeah.
The Girls Athletic Association.
Which they just kind of got together and played whatever sport
was
going on at the
they
time. They didn't have varsity sports.
They didn't have varsity sports. They
right.
weren't in the league. It was different.
Yeah.
And
Title IX.
Sports.
Title IX changed
all that.
Now, legally, it changed all that in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And then the late 80s or the 90s when they actually started following the rules in Title IX, then it changed
even more. Yeah.
And part of for colleges, it changed a lot based on football because you had to have the same, was it the same amount of scholarship money mm-hmm. available for girls as for boys?
Yep.
And so if you had, you know, 80-some scholarships or whatever they have for varsity.
Football was the killer because
football,
of
then you had to number. Have the same, you know, amount or same amount of money for available for girls. And so that's why we have, like at Boise State, for instance, there's a girls or a women's soccer team, but there's no men's soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
There's women's volleyball, but no men's volleyball. There's women's beach volleyball, no men's beach volleyball. Mm-hmm. You know, like at UCLA, Stanford, and some of those places, they have both.
Yeah.
But they're, I mean, currently, there's women's softball, but there's not baseball, but there's going to be baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had wrestling, and that went away.
I mean, they've even got sand volleyball.
Yeah, beach. That's the beach, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think – we don't have field hockey. No, there's no field hockey there, but some of the schools, like in the East
– field hockey is the only one that's gone away.
Well, like in the East, there are ones where there are the girls' field hockey, but there's no boys, and then there's in high schools. And then there's – if a lot of them have – or they add lacrosse.
Connie Thorngren, who died last week, started the women's sports at Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
And she started with 12 or 13 – and one, field hockey came and went. Everything else stayed through the Title IX, et cetera. And they added sports after that.
Yeah.
But never took any.
Well, no, they don't have a women's athletic director like anymore, right? It's just they just have an athletic director.
Right.
Yeah, because like when I was in college, there was a men's athletic mm-hmm. director and a women's athletic director.
Right.
And they were separate offices and. And at that time, I think
separate budgets
and the women's programs were not considered NCAA. They had another name like
GAA.
Well, it wasn't GAA, but it was something else. And then it was about the time that I was in college, which was 83. I started in 83, and that's about the time that they merged them.
Yeah,
it was right around that time.
Exactly. All right, let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Morning. The only comment I have to make is that females are making progress. They used to have to sue. Now they're being invited.
Truth. There's truth.
But, you know, to use the old thing, separate but equal, the big argument is that the Boy Scouts apparently have more quality in their organization. Now, if only the Girl Scouts could get that quality... Now the Girl Scouts are pissed off because the boys are stealing their girls. So
there's a point right there.
Anyway, take care.
All right, thanks.
I think you learn more about retail sales in the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I could be wrong. I mean, we sold things when I was in Boy Scouts. Like we'd sell. We always had a pancake supper every year, and we'd sell tickets to that. And we had a thing called Scoutorama, mm-hmm. and we'd sell tickets to that.
I remember that.
So we learned a little salesmanship.
Well, you know, yeah.
Well, we learned how to talk to our parents' friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your uncles.
Well, yeah, anybody we could convince, I suppose.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. And Steve. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, I wonder if all this government meddling and trying to make us all equal doesn't cause some of the unrest and chaos and the mass shootings going on in our country.
Yeah, and
what do you think?
Well, how do you make the
the connection? Well, it used to be when we grew up. Well, Chris, you're a little younger than Paul J. and I, but you know, the man was kind of the guy. I mean, he was the head of the household, and he was the leader of the family, and we had families back then. And, you know, in the 60s, that's kind of when they started doing this EEO and trying to make everybody equal. Civil rights was a part of this. And we had a system that kind of, I mean, it worked. I mean, sure, it had some problems, but, you know.
Especially if you weren't a guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you weren't a white guy.
Yeah.
And so now what they've done, everything seems to be against the white guy. I mean, we watched our education system start, not calling on boys. And I think that's where I noticed, well, okay, you know, and one of the earlier callers mentioned that the girls were far ahead of us. Well, you know, school was their thing. Our thing was just kind of playing. We just went to school because we were forced to. We'd rather be in recess all the time.
I mean, that's a little general, but yeah, I mean, I understand what you're talking about.
You know, and then they came in with all these government trying to make everything equal, and I think in a forced effort to make everything equal, you throw the equilibrium the other way, and I think, you know, I mean, this is just something that's been running around in my head, is that all this forcing people to be who they aren't.
Let me ask you a good just general question, though. Do you think that a woman should be able to have a say in what she does in her own life and have control over her own life and where it goes?
Sure, she's an individual. But when she gets married, those vows change everything. But, you know, that's something that the man and woman who are married work out on their own. And, you know, there's guidelines for that in the Bible. And,
on their own together.
On their own together. You know, the two become one. And, you know... You know, my married life isn't perfect either. I sometimes feel a little that I have to give more than I want to. But, you know, that's how you make a marriage work. You both give and you both get and, you know, you become one rather than, you know, one leader and one submissively.
You know, the old joke was that I wanted a dog. My wife wanted a cat. So we compromised and got a cat.
Exactly. But, you know, that's how life goes.
Yep, that's true. Thanks, Steve.
See you guys.
Bye. 9:46, we'll be back.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:50. We've been talking about the Boy Scouts who have decided to allow girls to become Cub Scouts. And I guess, you know, when I first heard about it, I thought that the Cub Scouts, you know, you just go to the pack meeting or the den meeting and there'd be girls and boys there and they all mix together. But they said what they're going to do is like some dens will be all boys and some will be all girls, and that girls can be in Boy Scouts, but they'll have like their own patrols and stuff like that. And then they can go for the rank of Eagle Scout. Mostly because of how it looks on a resume, I guess, was the original. Let's see, Jeff of Parma writes in, he says, so Steve says women and black people should know their place. Is that what he said? Now, that's not what he said. He just said that, you know, there was a time when things were different and he was talking about the government making different rules to make everybody equal. And I don't think he really said whether it was a good or a bad thing. He just said there's a lot of it going on. But it was kind of the point that I made.
I'm not sure he expressed himself too well.
Well, I don't know.
Although maybe
I don't know.
He did.
It depends. There's a guy who calls in about twice a year to First Light. That's the show that we have on between 4 and 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, I'm here at 4, so I listen to the show.
Right.
But he calls in about twice a year. And he tries to explain that black people enjoyed being slaves.
Ooh.
And pretty much they always let him talk for about 12 seconds, and then eventually they tell him...
What is his reasoning?
Well, that that he saw some crying one time when they were at a funeral for the master of the house or whatever. That was about it. That's his only reason.
And yeah, there was a thing on.
And I'm thinking, okay, dude, here's the deal. Unless you would enjoy being a slave, you can pretty much bet that nobody else would enjoy it either.
Yeah, there was a thing on TV.
I'm not talking about 50 Shades of Grey either.
Where they had the typical angry middle-aged white man, Confederate flag holder,
yeah,
whatever. And he was being interviewed. I wish I could remember the exact setting. But they asked him about slavery and, mm-hmm. and stuff. And he was kind of the same ilk that slavery was okay.
Yeah.
And that slaves really didn't mind being slaves. And the guy said, how do you figure that out? He said, well, it was tough on the slave owner. And the guy goes, it was tough being a slave owner? He goes, do you know how much it costs to run slaves? Oh, do you know how much it costs to have slaves on?
Good grief.
And in his mind.
You know, that's why they created agricultural colleges, because after the Civil War, they had to teach people how to make a profit running a farm without slaves.
Mm-hmm. Because people you actually have to pay somebody to work.
Yeah, as it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to figure out how to do that. You know, learn to run it more like a business, like any other business where you'd have to pay your workers.
Yeah.
Patrick of Caldwell says, why not just teach the same things in the Girl Scouts? Are boys going to be admitted to the Girl Scouts?
That's kind of where I am.
If there are girls in the Boy Scouts, are they still going to call it the Boy Scouts, or is that name going away?
Scouts.
Are the people pushing this also pushing to get rid of every all-girls organizations in the country? Why can't people just leave things alone? Well, I don't know why people can't leave things alone, probably because people don't like the things that they don't want to leave alone. However, the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts are not the same organization. They have very similar names, and you'd think that they're affiliated with each other, but they aren't. And so the Boy Scouts of America, they do what they do, and the Girl Scouts do what they do, and, you know, never the twain shall meet. So they don't get together and say, okay, you guys do this and you do this. It's somebody earlier mentioned the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, mm-hmm. which used to be the Boys Club or the Girls Club.
Right, right.
And then they got together and became the Boys and Girls Club. And also he mentioned the YMCA and the YWCA, which for years now has just been called the Y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or why not, I guess would be the good
thing. Yeah, I'm getting so old now. It's been so long since I was in these clubs, you know. Yeah. I don't think the uniforms fit anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But anytime you have separation of people, it always seems like a great idea to the ones who, you know, get the nice clean end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you tomorrow.